From Texas A&M, it's Walter Ustin. Ustin?
Yes.
It's a lot of extra letters in there. So we're going to move away from a little bit of irrigation production to evaluating cyclone performance for simulated gasification. So,
howdy, everyone.
Those lines.
My name is Walter Ustin. I'm from Texas A&M University. I am a master's student under Dr. Parnell. And today I'll be talking about some experiments that we ran in evaluating tube cyclone performance for biochar capture. So since the 1980s, A&M has done extensive research on the gasification of a variety of feedstocks, such as cotton gin trash, sorghum, animal manure. So what is gasification? Gasification is a thermochemical process that converts biomass into combustible gas or synthesis gas. You can see in this picture here, this is our gasification setup in which we are flaring off those combustible gases. So there are different types of gasification, but the one that I'll be focusing on is fluidized bed gasification. So as you can see here, we'll have a chamber that is typically filled with bed material comprised of refractory sand that is able to withstand the high temperatures of gasification. We'll have a controlled amount of heated air introduced through the bottom of the chamber with a sufficient velocity to fluidize the bed. We introduce the biomass through the side of the chamber, in which that gets gasified into two main products, synthesis gas and biochar. So why do we use gasification? There's been some work on actually combusting cotton gin trash, but that usually results in what's called slagging and fouling, in which the ash will melt and stick to the surfaces of the combustion system, which will cause it to plug up. And by using fluidized bed gasification, it is a more sustainable and continuous process that can be run for hours on end. So for my research that I'll be working on my master's is I will be doing research on a small-scale gasifier and establishing engineering properties as a basis for scaling the gasification system up to generate half a megawatt of electricity. And our fuel will be cotton gin trash. So we did a pre-analysis in which we looked at the power requirement based on the generating. We took some data from the Texas Cotton Ginning Association and found that on average, gins require about 50 kilowatts, kilowatt hours per bale to gin cotton. And then next we looked at the type of cotton coming to the gin. First, we looked at pick cotton. Gin trash usually has about 7,000 BTUs per pound, and we made the assumption that we could capture about 10% of that energy and convert that to electricity. So we looked at picked cotton, which has about 100 pounds of trash per bale, and what we found was that was not sufficient enough to meet the demand of the gin. So you can see for a 20 bale per hour gin, approximately 1 megawatt is needed to run the gin. For 40 bale per hour, about 2 megawatts, and 60 bale per hour, it's about 3. But what we did find was that with stripped cotton, it has the potential to meet the gin's power demand. So, as I mentioned earlier, a byproduct of the gasification is biochar, which is typically yield about 20% of the feed input. The focus of the experiments that we ran is actually separating out the biochar from the syngas, in which we use cyclone. There are conventional cyclones, which I'm sure most of the gins are familiar with, but what we will be using is what's called a tube cyclone. Our tube cyclone will be constructed of stainless steel to be able to withstand the temperatures of the syngas. The tube cyclone is similar to a conventional cyclone with regards to the inlet and outlet dimensions, but the main difference is that this tube cyclone does not have the conical bottom section as a conventional cyclone. But what we will be using to invert the outer vortex from the inner vortex is what we'll call a vortex inverter, in which we can vary inside the tube cyclone. So for these experiments, we wanted to evaluate the tube cyclone performance by varying both the flow rate and the vortex inverter position within the two-cyclone. And our main goal of doing these experiments was we wanted to find some optimal location of the vortex inverter in which the cyclone achieves maximum capture efficiency. So the particulate we were using was biochar from actual gasification. We found that the char that we were using had an MMD of 17 microns with a GSD of 1.8. So for my experimental setup, we used a blower to supply ambient air through the system, and we were able to measure the flow rate with an orifice meter. We filled a hopper with the char, in which we used a rotary airlock to supply the char to the T-section and be conveyed to the cyclone. The way that we evaluated the tube cyclone performance was determining the capture efficiency. We had a known mass of input biochar, which we put in the feed hopper, and then we could measure the mass of the captured char in the captured barrel. So one of the factors we were looking at was the vortex inverter position within the cyclone, in which we measured it in increments of cyclone diameter. So for 4D, we looked at the vortex inverter near the inlet of the cyclone, and then as we go down, we lower that vortex inverter down to 10D. So we did it at 4D, 6D, 8D, and 10D. Next, we looked at different flow rates. Past research has shown that for our gasification setup, we have a typical flow rate of about 35 cubic feet per minute. So that was one of the variables we chose. And then another was a higher flow rate of 50 CFM. We were going to evaluate a lower CFM, but when we ran experiments, we found that the char was not being conveyed correctly to the cyclone. So we excluded that from our tests. And then for all my tests, I did two replicates. For our capture efficiency, we measured the input and the captured biochar. This kind of just shows a table of my setup. And so after we ran all our tests, we got capture efficiencies ranging from 95 to 99% efficiency. So if you kind of maybe take a step back and look, the relationship is almost linear. So just by judging from this plot, you can see that vortex inverter position doesn't really play a role in the capture efficiency. And so we went on to run Design Expert, which is a statistical analysis tool, and that also revealed that both both the flow rate and the vortex inverter position does not affect the capture efficiency. So from our research and from our results, we found that the natural length of the cyclone was at the location of the vortex inverter between 4D and 10D. And then as we go on to run our gasification tests, we can expect approximately 95% capture of the biochar. So the next steps I'll be doing in my project is I will be attaching the cyclone to the gasifier, and we will start gasifying biomasses of Milo and cotton gin trash. And then we'll start evaluating the syngas quality, both the heating value and also the concentration of that biochar in the syngas. I'd like to acknowledge Lummis for making my project doable. I really do appreciate them, and also TAMU and Dow Chair, Cotton Foundation and Cotton Incorporated, and of course Cakes Lab at Texas A&M. Some references. Are there any questions? Sir? Yes, we did. The pressure drop across the cyclone increased as we lowered the vortex inverter position. So that is, you know, from our results, we found that it doesn't matter where you put the vortex inverter, but our next step of where to put that will be based upon pressure drop across the cyclone. Sir?
So you did an experiment to determine where that vortex inverter needed to be.
Yes.
You found that it didn't matter.
Yes, sir. For us, it was a surprise because we assumed that there would be some natural length of the tube cyclone And we expected that if you were to place the vortex inverter above the natural length, you would have a low capture efficiency. But if you place it below the natural length, you would have a higher capture efficiency. So what this told us was that between 4D and 10D, it didn't matter where you placed that vortex inverter.
So if it was scaled larger,
might it matter, or if it was scaled smaller? Possibly. From size restrictions with our cyclone, 10D was the maximum, but we could do experiments, you know, down to 1D, 2D, 3D also. So, any other questions, sir? Yes, sir. We could, but these are the typical flow rates and inlet velocities that we'll be expecting from our gasification test. So there really will not be a need to do it. But if we wanted to, you know, research more effects of this specific cyclone, then we probably would. So for a 35 CFM, we had an inlet velocity of about 4,500 feet per minute. And with 50 CFM, we had 6,400 feet per minute. Sir?
In relation to this gentleman's question, the small diameter of the cyclone, which is 3 inches.
Yes, sir?
Do you expect there to be some barrier effect, boundary effect, I mean, to the small diameter, and you increase that diameter?
I don't have an answer for that. I wouldn't know. We would have to do, I guess, more experiments. But for this, we used a stainless steel that Lummis manufactured for us. Mm-hmm. No, we only measure pressure drop across the cyclone. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you very much.